All right. Well, good Wednesday night to you, friends. Good to have such a good-looking crowd here this evening. Hope you had a tremendous day. And Brother Greg, whoever you are, pastor's neighbor, I want you to know in Greenville, South Carolina, the house right next to mine is for sale. And see me afterwards, and I bet we can cut you a deal. And but good to have all of you here tonight, and thank you for letting us have a little bit of fun with you, with our made up skit. That was fun, Pastor. Did anybody record that? Is it on anybody's phone? Good. I want a copy. Okay. And but hey, good to have all of you here. And how many of you have been here for every single service? Would you please raise your hand? Every single service. God bless you, my friends. Thank you. Thank you for the support, and thank you for your faithfulness. And may I just encourage you to do something? If you just raised your hand, I would suggest to you to go to Subway after the service. Subway sells a macadamia nut white chocolate chip cookie that will make your tongue spaz out. It is a wonderful cookie. Go treat yourself. And when you get up to the cashier, tell them that Pastor Arrowwood will take care of it. And then just walk out. Just walk out. And reward yourself for your faithful attendance here this week. Hey, listen. Would it be okay if I did another solo for you? Would that be all right? Before we do, let's all stand together and do our verse, okay? And then I want to do another solo to kind of prepare us for the message a little bit more than the old rugged cross did, all right? Are you ready? Here we go. Would you just look at your neighbor, just look at him and say, please come back on Sunday. All right, here we go. On your marks, get set, say it. Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Philippians 3:10. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for a great crowd tonight. Thank you for burdening hearts to be here. And God, I do pray that you would use this message. May it not be soon forgotten. Lord, we're going to look at a principle that is all through the Bible. It is so incredibly important for every Christian. And I pray that that would be impressed on every heart that's here tonight. Father, use me. I need help. Please use me. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me do another solo for you. Okay, is that all right? Go ahead, Becky. This blessing anybody? Thank you, Becky. That's all I'll inflict you with. And I want you folks to understand what I just did. I have just described us, if we're not careful. Do you recall that verse in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, that says, though I speak with the tongues, which is an understandable language, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. That was obnoxious. That solo was obnoxious. In fact, I noticed as I started, there were people down here in the front that jumped. It was loud. That would very much, I doubt anybody would ever buy a CD, would you? With nothing but cymbal. Anybody hear that weird? Of course not. What an ugly sound. Ugly. And isn't it interesting, people, that the Lord says that your Christianity without love, oh, I'm not questioning whether or not anybody here is saved. That's not my issue. That verse is talking to Christians. And if we do, oh, my friend, if you're the greatest preacher ever, you're the greatest pianist ever. You are the greatest Sunday school teacher ever. But you don't have love. It's useless. It's all in vain. I share that tonight to stress the importance of the direction that we're going to go tonight with this message. We're going to look together at the seventh melody. And I'm sure that most of you know exactly what I mean by that terminology when I say melody. We've been looking, and if you want to get your Bibles and turn there, we've been looking together at 2 Peter chapter 1. And I hope that after we're done tonight that this passage of Scripture will never be the same to you. I hope that it has been driven deep in your heart, my friend. I hope it has an effect on the way that you live your Christianity. But we've come tonight to the icing on the cake, the ultimate of a Christian, the ultimate command, the ultimate goal is to be somebody of love. But you know what's interesting about that, people, is that the number one commandment in Scripture, the number one commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul. And the second is to love thy neighbor as thyself. That is our number one charge, our number one order. Let me tell you something. If I were the enemy of the Christian army, I would love to confuse our marching orders. I think our enemy has done a good job. It's so fascinating how Christians do not understand what real love is. If you say anything that goes against their convictions, if you say anything that might be rebuke, if you say anything that might be correction, they'll tell you that's not loving, and nothing could be further from the truth. We don't understand what that word means. Our enemy has confused our marching orders. I just got done finishing a very thick biography, 760 pages long, small print. It was a biography of Stonewall Jackson, that very famous general who fought for the South. What a godly man he was. In fact, folks, I don't know if you know this, but Stonewall Jackson was so aggressive about seeing young men get saved, they had revivals going on in that Southern Army. And it caused the outbreak of America's Third Awakening, of which produced D.L. Moody. All because of Stonewall Jackson. He's a godly man. But what was fascinating about that book, people, is the detail that we know about those generals and the detail we know about those battles. And back in the Civil War, and I realize many of you know this, but back in the Civil War, communication was a huge issue. And what would often happen is that General Lee, who was the number one general for the South, would give out an order, let's attack tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. in a certain area. That order would be passed on to Stonewall Jackson. Stonewall Jackson would then pass that on to many of his colonels and many of his officers. And by the following morning, they would start to go to the battlefield, and they realized that the enemy wasn't where they thought they were, and there was no way to communicate. And so many, many of the attacks and many of the battles in the Civil War, the North had the same problem. Many of them were ruined, frustrating. Because generals and officers, when they got to the battlefield after they had been given the order, they got to the battlefield and realized the order didn't apply. And they had to kind of off the cuff, if you will, kind of redirect their army, and it was a huge problem. And friends, I share that with you because what a situation similar we have in our church. Our enemy has confused our order, and we go out there in the battle and we're commanded to be people of love, and yet we don't even know what it means. In fact, folks, I hesitate to preach this message, especially to men, because we've gotten to the point where we say love and we immediately think frills and pansies and little birds and tweet, tweet and hearts and very feminine. That's what we think. And nothing could be further from the truth. And I hope that becomes crystal clear to you tonight. But let's warm up, shall we? Could I get my statues back, please? Now, I had to get a whole new slate of them because a whole gob of them were stolen by Pastor Caleb. And so I had to get some new ones here. But they know who they are. Will you come up here, young people, would you please? I know I've got Thomas. Thomas, are you here? There you are. Good. Okay. We weren't sure you were here, Thomas. And so Thomas is going to be virtue, and Tim, you're going to be knowledge. And Ben, of course, is temperance. And I've got Dan Wells. Where's Dan? Okay, Dan, you're down here, buddy. That's where, had you been listening last night? No, I'm sorry. My bad. And then I got Austin and Austin. Where are the Austins? Are they here? Well, duh, would you get up here? Did nobody tell you you guys were involved? All right, come up here, you guys. All right, now, church, let's review, shall we? Remember what we've talked about for the last three messages. We established the fact that every one of us are gifted. There's nobody here who has an excuse. according to verses 1 through 4, you personally, teenager, and you personally, lady, and you personally, sir, you have it all. You are as gifted in your Christianity as your pastor. None of you, when it comes to God's presence and His Holy Spirit and the gifts that He gives, none of you are handicapped. None of you are retarded. You're all, you've got it all, verses 1 through 4. All of you are gifted, and you have no reason for not being the most excellent conductor in your own personal choir. So we establish that in verse number 1 through 4. And then in verse number 5 it says, because you are gifted with all eagerness. There's an enthusiasm about this whole thing. Peter puts kind of an umbrella over all this about being enthusiastic about this. This is so rich. Peter loved it. And he said, after I'm gone, please keep reminding each other of this stuff right here. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But he said, and so he started giving us a list of 7 melodies that you and I are commanded to add to chorus together to our faith. And remember what we said, that these melodies are what we call sequential, which means it all starts with melody number 1. Melody number 1 was virtue. What does that mean? Make up your mind. You're going to be tough. In fact, that word is often translated manliness. Be tough. Ladies, be tough. Teenagers, be tough. You're in a fight. You now belong to Jesus Christ. You've been chosen before the foundation of the world. You are now in His army. You've got to be tough. You make up your mind. I am going to fight for the Lord. I'm going to live for the Lord. And then and only then are you ready to go to melody number 2, which happens to be knowledge. Knowledge is what we know about the Bible, what we know about God's Word. And we are never satisfied with what we know. We always want more. You memorize it. You study it. I don't care who you are. You stay constant in the Word of God. I was just talking to a young man here recently who has made it his goal that this year he's reading through the Bible once a month. Takes him about 2 hours a day. But why would anybody do that? Ah! That guy right there. I want to know the Word of God better. That's our goal, folks. We're all about the Bible. That's where our marching orders are. We love the Bible. Well, as all of you know that know the Bible, there's stuff in there that's hard to do. And so your flesh is going to go, no! So, melody number 3 is temperance, which means get a grip on your flesh. Get a grip on your appetites, men. Get a grip on your attitude, ladies. Get a grip on the flesh, church. You've got to rein in your passions, your hunger, your appetites, your reflexes. You bring them into control of this guy right here. So, we do that, and by the way, I like that shirt, Ben. We kind of get tired of the fight. This guy is hard. We want to quit. So every godly person will add to temperance patience, which is endurance. In fact, the picture that Paul gives you over and over again, and the writer of Hebrews, is that of a marathoner. 26 grueling miles. Oh, it's hard. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I'd been telling churches for years that when I turned 60, I was going to run a marathon. I turned 60 about a year ago. And I, one week after I turned 60, I turned 60 on a Saturday. The following Saturday, I ran the Charleston Marathon, 26 miles, 385 yards. I kid you not, people, the first thing I said to my wife when I finally crossed the finish line was, never again, Lori. Never again. It just about killed me. And there are all kinds of stories I could share with you. And folks, that is so Christianity. It's hard. We're not very popular. We get persecuted. People make fun of us. We get mocked. We're always the butt of jokes on TV. It's hard. But we don't quit. We just keep, it's ungodly to quit. So we add to our faith, we add to temperance, patience. I'm going to do right until Jesus Christ comes. Ah, that's a godly attitude. Well, because we do have these things going on internally, the first external melody that we start to recognize in others is this guy right here. This guy right here, folks, is a natural product of that. If that's really going on in your life, this will naturally start to appear to the rest of us. It's called godliness. All it means is your testimony, your lifestyle, the way you talk, what you listen to, what you watch, what you wear. It's very, very practical. It's talking about your testimony, godliness. You want to look. You want to be Christ-like. That's this guy right here. Well, because you are Christ-like, that's going to affect the way that you treat each other in your church. We're all about the church. We are the church, not the building. As people, we are the church, and we love our church. We can't help it. It's our family. We're going to spend eternity together. And so we add to godliness brotherly kindness. All right, now, your turn. All right, you ready? Clear your voices. Give me that nice, rich Hoosier sound like you're at a basketball game. Do you guys know how to play basketball in Indiana? Duh. All right, here we go. Are you ready? You want to help me? Excellent. I add to my faith. Make up your mind. I add to virtue. Stay hungry. I add to knowledge. Get a grip. I add to temperance. Don't quit. I add to patience. I want to look like you. I add to godliness. One more time. Some of you are very, very weak. One more time. I add to my faith. Make up your mind. I add to virtue. I add to knowledge. I add to temperance. I add to patience. I add to godliness. All right. Thank you. Very, very good, church. Excellent. Now, Austin, who should I get for melody number 7? Make it a guy.
All right. Tendo Mabuke.
What? Tenda? Did you say tenda?
No, tendo.
Tendo. Like intendo. Tendo. Tendo. Hi, Tendo. I remember you. You go to school here. All right, Tendo. Come up here. Nice legs, buddy. Come on up here. All right. Tendo. Tendo. Everybody say hi, Tendo. I like him. You guys can sit down. I want to pick on Tendo for a while. All right, now, folks, as we've already said, this is the ultimate. This is always, hear me, Christians, this is always the direction the Bible takes you. It is God's will for every one of you that are a genuine believer to get to that level right there. These guys that are doing this make the good pastors, the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, the wives, the husbands. What is he called? Love. Now, your King James Bible uses the word charity. And the reason for that is because the King James translators were trying to help us to understand this term, agape. But it really does mean love. It's more than just charity. When we think charity, we just think about, you know, giving. But it means more than that. And so let's use the word love. And elsewhere in the King James Bible, agape is translated love. So there's no consistency there, but that's okay. We love the King James. But we're going to call him love. Now, folks, oh, ladies, I hope that you'll hear me tonight. That slid a little bit. I know I'm going to land in your lap. Ladies, would you look at me? You've been lied to. You have been lied to over and over again by Hollywood. And when we say the term love, oh, pastor, I'm about to make a statement that's going to cause people to go, oh. In fact, let's practice. When I do this, I would like you to go, oh. Okay, men included, you ready? Let's practice. 1, 2, 3. Perfect. Okay, now listen. Here's the statement. Ladies, listen to me. Come here. Love has nothing to do with feeling. Yeah. Nothing to do with feeling. Oh, I got another one for you. Love has nothing to do with romance. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing. Nothing to do with feeling. Nothing to do with romance. Now, to be honest with you, that is what the world thinks of love. And so they say stupid things like, oh, I couldn't help it. I fell in love. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody has ever fallen into genuine love. Oh, we've fallen into lust. And the world's definition of that guy right there includes eroticism. But that's not real love. And may I add that when you love your wife, there may be a little bit of attraction like that. That's not wrong. God made us that way. But that's not love. In fact, young girls and young guys, if you base your marriage, in fact, there's a Christian school teacher that I've met and had fun with this week that's engaged. Do you know her? She's sitting right back there and she turns red very easily, so don't look at her. But they're engaged. And I want to say something for their benefit, and I want you to listen because you need to hear it. If you base your marriage on romance, it won't last. It won't. If you base your marriage on feeling, young people, it won't last. You see, folks, what is love? Oh, please listen carefully. Please listen carefully. What is love? Love is sacrificially giving. In fact, folks, let me tell you what it is. Love is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It is action. You do love. You don't have love. You do it. Let me illustrate. A couple of years ago, I went to a restaurant that's very popular down south. The restaurant is called Fats. F-A-T-Z. Fats. Any of you ever been to one? They're very popular down south. Oh, they're good. They're like a Chili's and Applebee's. Went to a Fats. And I was with my little wife, and I was with my son. My son, I think, was a teenager at the time. And the maitre d' showed us to a table. And people, let me tell you what happened. The maitre d' took us, and we sat down. And we had sat down no more than about 30 seconds when, blam, our waitress was there. Her name was Wendy. I could tell immediately when Wendy started visiting with us that this was going to be fun because Wendy was one of those rare waitresses you get every now and then with personality. And I could tell Wendy was pretty sharp. And Wendy said, "Hi, folks, my name is Wendy, and I'm going to be your waitress today, and I hope I do a good job, and what can I bring you to drink?" I immediately spoke up, and I said, "Well, Wendy, my name is Mike, and this is Lori, and this is my son, Drew." She said, "Hi, Mike, hi, Lori, hi, Drew, nice to meet you. What can I bring you to drink?" I said, "Wendy, I would like 8 Coca-Colas with cherries." She took a step back and she said, "Mike, you want 8 of them?" I said, "Yes, please." I said, "Wendy, did you hear about the guy that drank 8 Coca-Colas?" She said, "No." I said, "He burped 7 up." Some of you will perhaps get that tomorrow, but Wendy... Wendy was sharp. Wendy was sharp, and she immediately, "That's good, Mike. I'm going to use that." I heard her telling it 2 minutes later at another table. Well, folks, before I go on with this illustration, I need to make sure you understand something. Please understand, people, I'm not hitting on her. Because what's going to happen is when I give her a tip, and please tip the poor things. I had a waitress tell me recently she hates working on Sundays because church people don't tip. 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 But I'm going to leave a tip with a track. And I want her to know that Christians can be fun. We can be normal. You know, they don't think we are. We can be. So I have ulterior motives. So please understand, that's really my goal. But let me tell you what happened. Wendy liked us. And she gave us great service. I even got a free dessert out of the gig. It pays to be obnoxious, people. And I left a track. And I remember leaving that restaurant with my family, and I happened to look back through the glass doors, and there was Wendy. I could see her way over there back in the kitchen reading that track. I have no idea this side of eternity what kind of fruit that bore. But my point is this. Let me ask you a question. Did Wendy give us great service, people? Did she give us great service because she loved us? No. Why did she give us great service? She wanted a good tip. Nothing wrong with that. It's the only reason she's there, to make money. But yet, people, and I hope you'll appreciate this illustration, right across the table from me was another lady. Her name is Lori. Oh, folks, she waits on me hand and foot. I married, like most of you men, I married way over my head. She is incredible. And I don't always leave her a good tip. I'm not always what I should be to her. But years ago, she stood on a platform similar to this, and she said, I'm going to love this turkey. I'm going to wait on him. I'm going to serve him. That's what it means. In fact, folks, I'm going to throw a big word at you tonight, okay? And I'd like you to repeat it with me. Love, the right kind of love, the Bible love that we're talking about here, is what we call volitional love. Would you say that word with me, please? Volitional. One more time. Volitional. What that means is this. Bible love, biblical love, and this is a fruit of the Spirit. Biblical love is love of choice. You choose, not because you're going to get something back. That's what the world does. They love because she's cute. They love because it's fluffy. They love because it's little and has big eyes. We get a warm, fuzzy feeling from that. That's not real love. Real love is you choosing. I am going to serve that person. And may I remind you tonight, we've already said this, but the number one object of your love, church, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. My friend, I don't care how you feel about him. I don't care if you get tears when you sing holy, holy, holy. That's good, nothing wrong with that, but that's not real love. Love is what are you doing for him? What are you doing? What have you done today, Christian, that counts for eternity? That's love. Has nothing to do with feeling. It has everything to do with serving, action, and to love your neighbor as yourself. What have you done? We had a good illustration just a few moments ago. Somebody mowed his yard. That's love. It's not kinky. It's not weird. It's just sacrifice. Greg sacrificed his time for his good-looking neighbor, who now is an excellent trumpet player. That's love. My friend, you're serving. Now, some smart Alex came to Jesus after he said that and said, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus launched into a story that all of you are familiar with. We call it the Good Samaritan. You remember what happened in there? There was a man. Oh, he had all kinds of needs. He'd been beat up. He was a pulp. He was a bloody mess. And a Pharisee and a Levite came by and walked on the other side of the road. Oh, yeah, can't touch that. Ugh, ugh, ugh. And yet a Samaritan, an every Jew, looked down their nose at a Samaritan. And that Samaritan came along and met that poor victim's needs. Jesus was telling us what love is. It's you serving one another. Oh, that goes so against our flesh. It's all about me. But yet in a most beautiful passage called Philippians 2, the Apostle Paul said in that great chapter where it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal, but made himself of no reputation. And that's love. But what the beginning of that chapter, Paul says this, if there be therefore any consolation, if any comfort of love, any comfort of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill you my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife. It's talking about the church. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Oh, that goes against every fiber of my flesh. I have to choose. I'm going to put myself down. I'm going to come to church, and it's not all about whether my needs were met. Did I get anything out of the message? Were people friendly to me? No, my friend, grow up. Love is you coming to church and saying, oh, how can I meet their needs? And how can I be friendly? And how can I encourage others? And how can I help others? And I hope that somebody else gets something out of the message. And I'm going to do all I can to help them, maybe even let them have my seat right on the aisle. That's love. And ladies and gentlemen, you do understand, it is the most important marching order you have. It is God's will for every one of you to be an ultimate lover. Not in a kinky sense. No, I'm talking Christ-like. So, here we are. Could I get my choir to stand, please? Now, watch this. All right, let's go through this. You guys ready? You ready? Clear your throats. Here we go. We're going to do this a couple times. We'll do it real quickly. Ready? Here I am. I'm you. I used to be unsaved. You used to be unsaved. You were blind. You were ignorant. You were aliens. You were dead. Have you ever seen a dead person? Do you know what they're like? They don't respond. Have you ever noticed that? I've even played my trumpet at a funeral, and they didn't do anything. They didn't even say amen. I played what they wanted me to play, and they did nothing. And they were just absolutely dead. They don't respond. I see people like that in church every Sunday. There's somebody sitting there, oh, amen, Brother Mike, that's good. The person right next to him. Dead. That was you. That was you. And I don't know how it happened in your life, and you don't know how it happened in my life, but boop, I'm saved. I get it out. Whoa, am I ever wealthy? Am I ever rich? I've got all the glories of the heavenlies. All mine. Mine. Woo, I got it good. But from that moment on, I'm adding to my faith, and you're adding to your faith, Christian. Make up your mind. It all starts there. I add to virtue. Stay hungry. Stay in the Word of God. Don't be satisfied. Hey, retiree, keep memorizing.
Well, Brother Mike, you don't understand. I don't memorize like I once did.
Oh, there's a Hebrew word for that. Baloney. They put in a new Walmart anywhere around here. You'll have to memorize the hours and the sales just like that. We remember things that are important to us. Keep memorizing. I don't know if you know this, but there's a hymn writer in your hymn book by the name of Frances Havergal. She had the entire New Testament memorized, Isaiah, Psalms, Jeremiah, and all the minor prophets. Stay hungry. Stay hungry. You don't have to be smart. It's just review. Stay hungry for the Word of God. Back to our graph. So I add to virtue knowledge. Stay hungry. I add to knowledge. Yeah, you're going to have to get a grip because he's hard. There's so much in there. Oh, man, what a battle. So we kind of have to rein in our flesh. You're going to want to quit, so we add to temperance. Don't quit. We add to patience. I want to look like you. I want to have a life that reflects you. I want to live for your glory. I want to look like one of your kids. That's him. I add to godliness. I love Christians. Let's have a potluck. Love getting together. I have a friend in the ministry who, when he first got saved, would purposely drive by the church just to make sure he wasn't missing anything. Would this church was full of people like that, huh, Pastor? Maybe it is. God bless you. And I add to, what are you? Brotherly kindness. I add to brotherly kindness. Love. How can I serve? What can I do? I'm all about you. How can I give, even if it costs me? I want to serve others. Okay, one more time. One more time. You ready? Here we are, real quickly. Add to your faith, to virtue, to knowledge, to temperance, to patience, to godliness, to God, brotherly kindness. Okay, now, in closing, would you look at your choir? I didn't make this up, people. This is you. There's your choir. Every one of you have it. There's your choir. How you doing? What do you sound like? What does your Christianity sound like? What do you like? What do people see? What do they hear? Remember what we talked about on Sunday morning? Paul was so worried about the Philippians when he said, when I hear of your affairs, what kinds of affairs does your pastor hear about in your life? What kind of reputation do you have? What does your choir sound like, Christian? There it is. Now, friends, why seven melodies? Why are there just seven? Let me tell you what Peter's done to you. In those seven melodies, you have the entire dynamic of Christianity described. Your pastor could easily preach a year on every one of those melodies and just scratch the surface. All of Christianity, everything about Christianity, right there. It's all summarized right there. Remember what Peter did? Peter said, I'm about to die. I'm about to go home. I'm about to graduate. And after I'm gone, here it is, folks. Here it is in a nutshell. Keep reminding each other of these things. You add them to your life. And my friends, let me tell you about these voices. I don't know if you've ever heard a good choir or if you've ever been in a choir rehearsal. But sometimes you go there and your basses are kind of lackadaisical or your altos are out of key. And you kind of have to tinker and toy and tweak. And Peter's saying, oh, Christian, keep tweaking. Keep a real active thumb on the pulse of your choir. What do you like? Sometimes there are scenarios where we need a whole lot more of this guy. Sometimes there are scenarios where we need a whole lot more of this guy. But I repeat, it all begins right here. And here's the biggest problem your pastor has in this church. You just making up your mind, teenager, lady, man, I'm going to do right. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then we go to the manual and find out how to serve him. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? Gentlemen, thank you. You can go back to your seats. Thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.